Today is a very beautiful feast in the church, and one of the two great feasts of Our Lady in the church year. The other one, of course, being her Immaculate Conception. On this day, she came to the end of her earthly life, and she died. And shortly after that, according to tradition, it was 3 days later, just like her son. Her body was raised again to life by God, and she was taken up alive into heaven. This is actually an interesting day from a historical point of view as well, because the Assumption is the last solemn definition of a dogma that we have had in the Church. It was defined by Pope Pius XII on November 1st, All Saints' Day of 1950, barely over 60 years ago, within the lifetime of a lot of people here. This feast is the consummation of all of the other mysteries of her life. It is her birthday into glory. It is when our Blessed Mother received the crown for all of her virtues and the sacrifices that she made throughout her whole life. All of her other feasts that we celebrate throughout the year are contained in this feast, in a way, because this is when we celebrate the reward that she received for everything that she did. And who can imagine the reward that she received from God on this day? She was conceived in the state of grace, already a friend of God. And not just God's friend, but His most beloved creature in all of the creation that He made. She was absolutely full of grace at that moment, and she increased in grace every single moment of her life until she died. Of course, she was always full of grace, but her capacity for grace increased every moment until she died. Just like a container of water becoming larger, the amount of, but it's staying full at the same time, the amount of water in it will continue to get larger. This is a mystery, but it's a beautiful thought to think about. And especially when we think about the fact that there's no other creature closer to God or more similar to Him in His holiness than Our Lady. Just think what that tells us about her greatness and her holiness. We have devotion to lots of other saints, of course, but we should have the greatest devotion to her who was the greatest of all the saints. In fact, greater than all of the saints and angels and all of the just combined. Now, why is this? She was chosen by God to be the mother of His Son, and therefore God made her to be a fitting vessel to be the Son of God, to be the mother of the Son of God. And this started with her being conceived without any original sin. As a result of this, she is missing, or does not suffer from the three wounds of our nature that we have as a result of original sin. These wounds that we have from original sin are a darkened intellect, a weakened will, and a strong inclination to evil. First of all, we have a darkened intellect. We don't understand the things of God. And even our knowledge of the material world is very obscure. We are constantly putting the things of this world ahead of the goods of the spiritual life. Not only when we commit sin, of course that's the main way, but whenever we choose something less perfect, like watching television instead of saying the rosary or reading a spiritual book and enriching our spiritual lives in that way. Our Lady never had that problem. She never committed even any imperfection, not even the smallest one. Everything that she did was always completely perfect, and it was the holiest thing that she could be doing at that moment. Our wills are also weakened. We see what we are supposed to do, but we don't want to do it. Sometimes we want to do the opposite of what we should be doing. That's how we fall into sin. But Our Lady's will was always perfectly conformed to the will of God in everything. Everything that she knew God wanted her to do, she did it as well as she could and without any hesitation whatsoever. And finally, we have an inclination to evil. Our nature is wounded and we want to do things we're not supposed to. But Our Lady did not have even the slightest desire to commit sin. Her nature was, again, perfectly conformed to the will of God. And this is why she is the most perfect person who ever lived. And she is a model for us. We cannot live the way she did, of course, because we were born with original sin. And we still suffer from that. Kind of like someone who had a serious disease in his infancy and suffers from a certain weakness of health throughout his whole life as a result. But God gave her to us to be a model that we can aspire to and that we can want to imitate to the extent that we can. And it was what is much more important than that, He gave her to us so that she could help us to attain the ideal of how we are supposed to live. So that she could help us to live more like the way she did. She wants us to be perfect like she was. And because she is full of grace, she is very powerful with God. But she is not only the mother of God, she is our mother as well. Our adoptive mother, but certainly still our mother. And she takes care of us like a good mother. We should be devoted to her, especially when we are struggling with some temptation or some sin or some other problem. When our intellect is becoming darkened and our will is becoming weakened and inclined to evil, then we have to think about her and what she would do if she were in our situation at that moment. And we have to pray to her too, and pray with confidence. Because we know that no one ever falls into sin if he calls on our Blessed Mother in time of temptation, as it says in the prayers that we say on Saturday morning after Mass. The only people who are lost are those who fall into sin and do not call on her for help. This is why our Blessed Lady is truly the key of salvation. She is our protection and our safeguard. She is our mother. Let us rejoice with her today as she receives her eternal reward. Let us promise her that we will be devoted to her during all our life and ask her to bring us to heaven with her after we die. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.